Hello, my name is John Socia, the father of Jeremy Socia, and I want to welcome you to the next exciting episode of The Infinite Rabbit Hole.
Welcome back to another gripping episode of the Infinite Rabbit Hole podcast. I am your host, Jeremy, and today we're going to dive into the world of Flat Earth. Why? Don't know. Actually, I do know. Take that back. It is in response to the Hush Hush Society Conspiracy Hour's newest episode, or not newest episode. I don't know when this episode is going to come out, so it's one of their newest episodes. They're part two of Flat Earth. We were going to do a different episode today. Actually, it was Kid's turn up to bat. Kid's going to jump in next time on the Infinite Rabbit Hole and bring us her newest topic. But I just had to do this because I've been holding off for just so damn long. But we'll get into that story here in a second. First, I want to bring in everybody and then bring in our guest. Let's start with Kid. Kid, I brought you up. How are you doing today?
I'm okay. Been better, but also been worse. So I'm just surviving right now.
You ready to get flat?
I am.
Yeah.
Flat like a pancake.
And then the next guy who believes in the firmament, Sir Jeffrey Flat Earth.
Bro, why does everybody make these assumptions about
Sir
me,
Jeffrey of the Flat Earth?
No matter how many times I repeat myself, people still say I'm a flat
and
earth.
And moving on to Jake. Jake, okay. How are you doing today?
Well, Whitney brought the ick home. Not maybe COVID. I don't know. Maybe not. And I'm wearing my shill hat, so I'm ready to defend the government and their interests with whatever I need to in this topic. So
I'm sorry, Jeff. I meant no disrespect. I just thought it was
hilarious.
No, listen,
that's okay because for the record, I am not a flat earther. However, I will take the role in taking down Shill Jake here and his shillery. So I will be defending the flat earth theory.
One of us has sailed 15,000 miles, nautical miles, and not fallen off the edge of the earth. Yeah. And I'm guessing that one of us has not.
You just fell off. Well, we'll get to it, buddy.
So, Jake, you almost didn't make the episode today, man. You feeling better?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I have some like nasal congestion, cold thing. Whitney has something going on. We got our COVID tests in, waiting on them to come back. But even if it's not COVID, I mean, the ick is around this time of year. So it's just, you know, if it's not that, it's something else. So whatever, you know,
I got two kids in the house right now with the flu. So, I'm sure I'm going to get that here very soon. All right. So moving on. The reason why we're doing this episode is because of our guest, Dave. How dare you?
How dare you, Dave? And welcome.
Oh, wait,
poor Dave.
I had no idea about doing this until, 1 o'clock today or something like that?
I know, on a whim, dude. On a whim. I was like, hey, are you busy this afternoon? I can make it work. Yeah. No, there's dude, I appreciate it.
Sorry.
All right.
Yep, there they are.
To kind of get everyone caught up and up to speed of what's going on here, I listened to an episode of the Hush Hush Society today, as I do very often. They put out good quality stuff, and I like their shit. And the episode that they talked about today was Flat Earth, their part two revisit to the topic. Dave, if I'm correct, you guys revisited because you guys got some hate mail, huh?
Yeah, we originally did the topic in May of 2021, and we took a lava dump on the whole thing, and it just didn't feel fair. And then, well, in my eyes, it didn't feel fair. I can't speak for the other two because they enjoy taking dumps on this no matter what. But I felt it needed a fair shake. And so I tried and tried and tried since at least, I want to say at least the beginning of August. Just not every day because I would lose my mind, but a couple times a week, spending like an hour or two, couple hours, really diving into it and reformulating all the information that I had accumulated the first time without being a sassy pants about it, I guess I'd say. So,
so after years of study that you put into this, years and years and years, decades, some may say, are you now a flat earther?
No, but I'm open to conversation. we have some things planned with our show, with some other shows, where there's another Flat Earth episode coming out sometime in the beginning of the year. And it's me against different types of flat earthers, biblical flat earthers, geocentric model flat earthers. And I'm terrified, but it's going to be a lot of fun. They're good people. It's going to be a one part series of three or four different episodes. Can't say too much about it right now, but
no, dude, that sounds freaking exciting. Not gonna lie.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a couple months in the works and I can say it's like eight different shows all in one. So it's a major cluster, but
so you're just going to get rammed by one show after another. Huh?
Yeah. And speaking of ramming, you asked me what happened to hate mail. We very quickly after our episode back in May of 2021, got an email from David Weiss, as we would, yeah. I'm sure anytime Flat Earth pops up on a feed, he's probably one of the first people to jump on that and listen to it. And he had an exchange with Mike via email, and it was some name calling. And I thought it was funny because we were, you know, he called us all these names, morons and bunch of paid idiots and whatnot. And David, we get negative money on this show. So let me tell you, not paid.
Oh, facts.
Not paid opposition. Sorry. Paying opposition, I guess you could say. We invited him in this episode to come on the show, or anyone to come on the show, because we'd really love to interview somebody that's like hell bent on it. And there's no other theory other than that. But we'll see. We just dropped it Monday. So it's gotten good reception, though. No hate mail yet. Good plays, but they're coming.
Keyword yet.
Yet.
Oh, keyword.
Give it a week. Give it a week.
Give it a so week. Let's go around the table real quick and just kind of get a base thought of where everyone sits on this topic, because this is a controversial topic, man. I hear from every single podcast that does the Flat Earth topic that they instantly become like the center of the universe of hate. Like everyone just jumps on the train and just, you know, goes to town on a podcast immediately after they drop an episode on Flat Earth. And we've held off so long on Flat Earth because I'll just go first. Not a flat earther, not in the least bit. I actually, this is one of those topics where I don't even want to waste my time doing research on it. Just to be honest with you, I just don't believe it. Now, will I accept anybody coming onto the show as a flat earther to kind of come on and try to change my mind with some facts and everything? Absolutely, for sure. I'm open-minded. Let's talk about it. But for the most part, no. I think it's a waste of time, man. Just being honest with you. I really do. I think there's other things in this world that are much more fascinating. And like you said in your episode there, David, or no, it wasn't you. I think it was Mike, actually, who said, what's it going to change? Even if the world is flat.
Right? He didn't care. His thing. And that was even a year and a half ago as well. He was like, I don't give a shit. So that was pretty much where he was at. And that's why he was pretty apprehensive. Frankie was on the fence, but he was pretty apprehensive to do it. He's like, I don't want to waste my time on this. I don't want to waste an episode. But I pushed him off the flat earth to do it. So,
so that's kind of how we landed here, right? Is because I don't want to do the research. I just don't. Jeff, I don't know. If, I am a little bit, but at the same time, like Jeff may or may not bring it to the table one day. And I'm sure he's going to do a hell of a better job than I am, or he's going to get a guest that can do a hell of a better job than I can. So I'm waiting for that because I want it to be a mind blowing experience. And I know Jeff's going to come prepared. Speaking of Jeff, let's jump straight to you, man. Are you, or are you not? Well, okay. Pancakes or muffins?
Well, if you've listened to like pretty much any of the other episodes, you'd know that I'm not a flat earther.
That's not true.
Which episodes? Our episodes or your episodes?
Yeah, all of them. Even the Space is Fake episode. Right.
Oh,
I explicitly say like I'm not a flat earther. I don't believe the earth is flat, right? My stance on this is it's kind of complicated, honestly. But honestly, it's that none of us know, for one. And for any of us to assume that we would know, we would have to take just blind information from what I call the suits, right? The lizard people.
Okay? Alphabet boys, yeah.
Right. Alphabet soup. So no, I'm not about that life. But the problem I have is that most people who blindly say the earth's not flat because this, because that, they just don't even understand the model, right? I've at least, there's been a point in my life where I was a flat earther, right? So I understand the model to the point where I could explain it to some people, right? I can kind of dumb shit down so people get it. But yeah, that's the biggest problem I have. People immediately say no because they don't understand the model. And I have a problem with that in itself. So I'm here to at least hopefully correct people's perception of the model if there is a misconception, and then explain why that could be a good question to ask. You know, why can't we see the curve or whatever the case may be, right? So that's kind of where I'm at.
Perfect. I know exactly where we're going to start with this episode. Let's move on to Jacob.
Yeah, I mean, like even as a Bible-believing guy, you know, hearing other Christians that are flat earthers and their evidence from the Bible about how we know the earth is flat and stuff, like I'm just uninterested. Like that's pretty much, I'm in the same boat. What does it matter? You know, in the grand scheme of things, who cares? You know, what does it matter? You know, it's, oh my gosh, we're going to find out the truth. And then, you know, the other 98% of milk is going to be unlocked. You know, no, it doesn't matter. But yeah, I mean, but I'm open to the conversation because, and it's like most of the stuff that we deal with on here, it's like, we can't prove that Bigfoot exists. We can be pretty dang sure, you know. Jeremy has experience, but there's plenty of people that would say, oh no, you mind playing tricks on you, or if there's no physical body, you're lying or whatever, you're misinformed or, you know, X, Y, and Z, whatever. But the conversation is still cool, you know, even if, you know, Jeremy was the only one in here that believed in Bigfoot, which he's not, but the conversation would be cool to hash out. So this conversation is cool, but doing any sort of like deep dive research into like proving or disproving, for me, just uninterested in that. But I'll hear people out, you know?
Hmm. All right, kid.
Okay. I sit in this weird middle ground of like, I really don't care, but I still really want to know. Like
if space is
fake. I want the answer. Right? Like, I really could care less if space was fake, but I really want to know if space is fake. The same thing. Like, I also don't think, I could really sit here, I could sit here and say that it wouldn't change my mindset on the world, but it probably would. In all honesty, I could, that's almost like, pun intended, world shattering information.
Good one.
Right?
Good
one. Like,
yeah.
Well, isn't it kind of like a defeating argument? Because really, the most hardcore flat earthers, the only way they would possibly believe that the earth was not flat was if someone launched them up in a rocket and they're able to look out the window and see the Earth. But even then, and if they said, hey, turns out the Earth is a globe, none of their friends would believe it. They'd be like, oh, you're a shill now. You're lying to us. We have to have the proof. So it just, there's no way to get everyone on board anyway, right?
Yeah. And that's the hardest part. That's the hardest part, right? Because, and it's not just from the flat earther's point of view. It's from the, what do they call them? Globetards, right? Globetards.
It's the globalists.
The globalists.
I laughed so hard when I heard that.
The globetards, like myself.
I'm a cube earth guy, so.
Borg earth.
Yes.
Yeah. No, velociraptor like earth.
I actually go for the bottom of bikinis. I like that shape. So
I'm an hourglass Morbius guy. So.
But anyways, jeez, now we're off point. Anyways, it's a difficult fight no matter what side of the field you're on, right? It doesn't matter. You're going to tell me something, and I'm going to go to the years of science and everything and engineering and whatnot with my evidence. But at the same time, that same stuff that I sit there and quote when it comes to other conspiracies is the same stuff that I don't believe in when it comes to, like, the, you know, NASA landing on the moon or us landing on the moon or the JFK assassination, or, you know, there's a lot of stuff where, you know, I would be like, oh yeah, so you're going to trust the government. But yeah, I'm sitting here trusting the government that, you know, the flat or the earth is round.
Why would Elon Musk lie to us?
See, that's the thing.
Why not though?
Why not?
That's also the thing.
No matter what,
but why wouldn't he?
Can we just start? Can I start with like the biggest thing, which is what everybody pretty much said, is why does it fucking matter?
Last thing. Okay. If it turns out that the world is flat, and the only way I want it to be flat is if there's actually more ocean and land past the ice wall. If that's true, fucking, that's really cool. I dig that. I like that. You know, exploration is neat. But other than that, I mean, if it's just ice wall and we fall off into the great abyss, that sucks. But anyways,
that was my conclusion, was if there is anything past that, extra land and extra resources is definitely more of a fascinating idea than, I guess, a lot. That's the thing. There's so many different arguments. And even with other conspiracies, people in that same topic contradict each other with certain things, and it makes the people who might actually have valid arguments and maybe even some types of, you know, factual information that they can actually show you, look bad, because then you have the other side that's just kind of spewing garbage. And yeah. I think for me, when I say it would definitely change everything, because I mean, you'd have economic collapse, social collapse, you know, religious collapse, there'd be all that stuff would definitely just be shot in a way that we probably would never be able to understand, because it's never happened to us in that sense. But I guess for me, would it matter? There's a lot of the arguments of, well, you're locked in this prison and it's a spiritual prison or whatnot. And for me, I think it would be fascinating either way. If we're actually on a planet spinning through whatever, that's still pretty fascinating compared to whatever the shape is. So for me, I've gotten off of the point of the shape and more of the how much are we being lied to about this stuff. And I kind of veered off of, like, is it flat? Is it a muffin? Is it a pancake? Is it a velociraptor? You know, like, or is it a pear shape, like Neil deGrasse Tyson says? The shape for me doesn't matter as much. It's more
like
the why.
The Grass Titan.
Yeah. He's little mic drop.
Isn't it, like, more oval, more egg shaped?
Yeah.
Handsome though. Handsome man.
It's a cylinder. No,
not that either.
Oblong.
All right.
The ice wall on the other side of that is either where the reptilians are, or the White Walkers. Either way, I can't see anything good being on the other side of the ice wall.
I'm team White Walkers. I think that'd be pretty good. But
I want to be one.
It is not interesting that they do that in pop culture, though. They hint towards things like that just to
that is interesting.
Maybe it's to make fun of people.
It, you know, very well could be, but I think that there's a mix of that. It's a bit of mocking, and it's also a bit of seed planting and
indoctrination.
It's a lot of it, you know. It's a mix of everything, but it's interesting that they do that. That's all I'm saying.
So. First thing I would like to say, well, not the first, but one thing I would like to say before we get really hot into this topic, is I'd like to apologize to the travelers of the Infinite Rabbit Hole, because you're not going to get a deep explanation of exactly what we're talking about. Like, if you're listening to this and you don't know anything about flat Earth, and you're like, what the fuck is a flat or the ice wall, right?
First of all, get out from underneath the rock you've been living under for the last 5 years.
There's a couple options for you, right? You can Google it, or you can head on over to Hush Hush or even Shadow Band.
Over to us. You don't want to hear our explanation.
I mean, every single podcast in the history of podcasts have done this at some point. Like, I'm sure Rogan has touched on Flat Earth 20 times by now.
No, he doesn't want to touch it. Anytime somebody, I think Eddie Bravo brings it up, and he's just like, shut up. Like, really? I think I've never seen him want to touch it. I think he'll bring it up. He brought it up randomly once with Neil deGrasse Tyson, and he was just like, he shot it off.
Yeah, it's such a political topic. It's nuts. It is, like, you become public enemy number one as soon as you start talking about it.
Which gives it weight.
It does. It does. And
100%.
That is the most intriguing thing about it. All right, Jeff, I know I kind of got a little long-winded there, man, but let's go ahead and get into why is it important.
Well, I mean, I think Dave kind of touched on that already a little bit, but, you know, it is something to think about if we do come to some realization that we are in some enclosed space, right? Whether it is flat or not, like, if we realize, even if it's like in that cartoon, I forget what it is, where the Earth is like in the confined cube, you know what I mean? And it's like we're quarantined, you know, like, if we find out anything like that, then that just changes like everything we understand about our existence in the universe, right? Because as of right now, as a whole, as a species, we all know that we're the only thing out there. Now, we might believe and think and wonder and wish there might be other shit out there, but we know that there's not, as of what we know. You know what I'm saying? Right. Does that make sense?
From our perspective.
Right. So if we realize that something is not only out there, but is so superior to us that it has enclosed us in some kind of enclosure since the beginning of our existence, like, that's important. I think there's nothing more important than that on some level. Not to say that we should stop everything and focus on that, but that information would be the most important.
What about asteroid craters?
What do you mean?
All over the place. There's all types of lakes and stuff that used to be that were
big
old giant holes from things hitting the Earth.
This is the thing, right? It's we can go down a list for days and days and days about what about this, what about that, from both sides. Like, you can point out... You can point out things that prove...
Bring out this list.
Space is real, and you know what I'm saying? Like, you could go down the list forever, and I can go down a list forever, and we could do this for days.
You're thinking like a container, like on Spaceballs, where they have to open it up and vacuum out all the air?
But yep. Anyways, listen, the point is, like, I don't think we should just get caught in the weeds doing that, like... Oh, what about this? What about what? How? What about this? You know, that's pointless. People do that shit all day. But the point is that information would be the most important information that humankind ever had if that information came out. So
I don't disagree with you. I don't, because it would be absolutely huge. But the thing is like, what does it matter to me? Right? What does it matter to Jeremy? It doesn't. It may matter to my kids or my grandkids or my great grandkids or whatever, because we know that there were lifetimes or generations before us, right? We know that it was there. I mean, the amount of detail that would have to be placed into reality, you know, if this isn't a simulation, of, you know, dead corpses and the history that we're taught and everything that we've been through, the detail would be way too much for it to be all faked. That's one thing that I just want to get out of the way real quick, is that a lot of people go around and they say, oh, well, the government doesn't want you to wipe your butt, you know, so they do want you to wipe your butts. They give you toilet paper, right? Or
except for 2 years ago when there wasn't any.
Yeah, they didn't want us to wipe our butts. Yeah.
Yep. Nobody wanted that. But I mean, the thing is, you know, a lot of people blame the government for everything. And this is the most shill thing that I'm probably ever going to say on this fucking show, is the government isn't, they don't fucking care about the details like that. They just don't. They can't do it. And I'm going to be honest with you, most of them aren't fucking smart enough to do it. So to move forward, right? If I find out in my time here on Earth that the Earth is flat and there's this whole other world beyond the ice wall, what does that do for me? Am I ever going to be able to go there? Am I ever going to be able to check it out? Not at all. My kid probably won't even be able to check it out. My grandkids might not. And then you're talking centuries before anybody's got free access to anything, if not never, right? And it just disappears again. But where, you know, someone could be listening to this and be like, well, dude, you're obsessed with Bigfoot. But the thing of difference about Bigfoot is that if we discover Bigfoot, we could do something with it right now. And that's another thing that
stuff it.
Well, that's one thing I talked about.
Stuff it. Oh my goodness, Jake.
That's bad, dude. What a dick. No, these are simple, we can do with it. Animals.
I'm not saying it's a good idea. Just an idea, right? Look.
Taxidermy is a thing, okay?
No. I disagree 100%.
Do you?
Yeah, 100%. I guarantee you that if somehow, and again, I'm not saying this is the case, but if the information came out tomorrow and it said, hey guys, guess what? There is an ice wall and there is extra land out over there. Continent size, right? A whole nother world over there on the other side. That information came out tomorrow. I guarantee you, if not people in our generation, like you said, your kids or grandkids would be exploring that. So that right there is, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like this, that is so incredibly important, especially for what humans are and what we have been forever, right? That's what we do. We explore. We find, oh, there's new shit for me to go look at. Well, let's go look at it.
I don't doubt that they'll have a caravan of people heading straight for the ice wall, Naruto running right at it. Sure. I get that, right? That's going to happen.
Is it a hefty climb?
I don't know. No idea. Right? Mm. It's speculating. Like I said, nothing that I've ever looked into. I like what Dave brought up in their episode, is that, you know, somebody could have seen an ice shelf and thought of it as a wall. That makes a lot of sense. I get that, Jeff. I do. But the thing is that if that's the case, if there is land beyond, extraterrestrial, right? Extra terra. I love that. I think it's dumb. But anyways, somebody already knows about it. It's already been discovered. It's already been, it's probably developed, you know, if most likely there's already something living past there keeping us here.
For resources.
Yeah, it's probably more of a wasteland than this fucking place is, to be honest with you.
I think the opposite. What if we're the wasteland? We're the quarantine zone. Everything out there is so super advanced, 10,000 years more advanced. That's Atlantis.
And that's... You know, I'm happy that you brought that up, because that is one of the things that, you know, you have all of these ancient civilizations that are constantly talked about throughout history, or, you know, quote unquote history, like Atlantis. This is just an example, but there's countless amount of civilizations just like Atlantis that we can't find, right? They're there, or they're in our history. People have written about them. People have talked about them. They've been passed down verbally and written. Well, we can't find them. Where are they? We don't know, right? A lot of people are very quick to just throw Atlantis to the curb and say, this never existed. Maybe it does exist past the ice wall. I don't believe it, but...
Amelia Earhart actually flew over the ice wall and then her plane crashed, and that's why she could never come back.
That's not it.
No, it's true.
I heard that the other day, actually. That's not the first time I've heard something like that. Cool. I can't remember where I heard that, but something, there's some conspiracy theory where she went on some flight, discovered something, and then died. Yeah. Suddenly disappeared and died. So there is a conspiracy theory there.
Well, died to everybody else. But what about all the like hundreds of thousands of people? I don't want to say millions because I don't have the numbers. That's this might be even high, but let's say hundreds of thousands of people that have had private plane licenses, private aircraft licenses, and fly around all over the place, and private ships. And sail around all over the place. Like my best friend from high school, his dad has been continuously sailing around the world for the last 15 years. He retired, sold his house. His parents got a divorce and he sold the house. He was constantly renovating boats, got a big old boat, renovated it out. And he's been sailing around the world. He posts pictures on his Facebook all the time of this is where I'm at. This is where I'm at. All sorts of stuff. Right. But none of them has ever been like, here's a picture of the ice wall.
Well, paid opposition. Duh.
Wow. Well, yeah. Enough money to tell him not to say anything about the ice wall.
Yeah.
So there most definitely is like an ice, like a shelf of ice. You know, if you go to Antarctica, I have not been to
Down
Antarctica.
South.
But I have seen National Geographic videos with David Attenborough talking about this and that, right? And there's a giant ice shelf, right? And in some places you would, like you said, if you sailed across up to that, especially 500 years ago, you'd be like, fucking ice wall, right? So, you know, people, you could sail around the world and not ever see Antarctica.
Dang, that's a big ice wall.
Wow. Like the, I don't understand. I guess I don't understand the question. I thought you were going to actually ask like, how come they don't sail off the edge? And I was just going to immediately tell you, you have no idea what the model looks like. But
no, it was where's the pictures of like the wall with something on the other side or something like that, like flying around being like, oh crap.
It's not like a wall. It's not like a wall. And then there's shit on it. It's not like Game of Thrones where literally is just our land, a wall, and then more other shit land. No, it's
well,
like
you say a wall, and I know what a wall looks like, and that's what a wall looks like.
It's like the ocean, and then that ice shelf of Antarctica, the coastline of Antarctica, right? They're imagining that it wraps around the Earth, and that's kind of like the high end of a bowl, and the ocean is the water, right, in a bowl, if you imagine. And then there's hundreds, thousands of miles of ice, you know, plateau of ice, just, you know, mountains and shit. Right. Pyramids. Mm-hmm. Right. Let's not forget. And then maybe there's more land 10,000 miles that way, I guess. Right. Some number.
So basically a big plateau. OK. But
giant glacier. Imagine a glacier that just covers fucking what you would think of the size of Antarctica, I suppose. And then just now there's more land.
You believe in like the ring theory, right? Or that's the model you're referring to where it's like, here's us, and then there's another ring and another ring and another ring.
Again, belief is
that's the thing that you were talking about, right?
That's one of a couple of models that I could stand behind to a certain degree. Yeah, sure.
Hey, everybody. Bear with us while we take this quick break.
You also have a lot of people. I mean, I just looked up real quick how much Antarctic cruises are for one person, and they're around 15 G's just for the cruise.
Jeez.
So a lot of people just don't have that. Just don't have that pocket money to go check it out for themselves. And like we've said on multiple occasions on Antarctic episodes, Flat Earth episodes, even Hollow Earth episode, Antarctica sucks.
Yeah,
like nobody is gonna go there, and if you're a private, if you own like a Cessna, you ain't getting there. So you know you gotta have some. You gotta those flights are long, especially if you're going. You know, even just flying, getting to it, and then flying over the ice wall, that would be definitive proof if you can get to it, and then see it either curves like a continent or it curves all the way around and keeps going like what you'd see on the circular model. For Flat Earth, and that would be definitive. you know, but nobody has pictures of it. Just like, I think it goes back to the lying. And my most intriguing part of it is the whole resources, fossil fuels. We're running out of this. We have, you know, we're killing the earth.
That's horse crap. But,
you know, we're I'm pretty sure Carter said it, that we were in 10 years, we're all going to be baking. You know, it's going to be like Venus. We're fucked. And we're clearly not. And there's unlimited resources behind this wall. And that would be intriguing, especially with current events and the way things are going. It really does kind of look like people are just bullshitting us, or we're just being trolled on every level. It's not a globe or it's flat. You know, it's something else entirely. Like,
it's a velociraptor. I'm telling you.
A realm. Yeah. Who says it's a realm? I forget which.
I say that shit all the time, but Sam Tripoli says that all the time on
his
show.
Yeah, he says that. But it's a. No, but cool. What's the? I guess what would you define as a realm? You know, like, is it a, you know, like the Truman Show? You know, is it just an area that's enclosed? But that's my most intriguing part is why, and you have to go all the way into like the Antarctic Treaty and why the Pentagon owns a piece of the pie and all these other nations and why can't you go there? I think the conspiracy theory of you being shot at going there is horse shit. I don't think you're going to get shot at because, just one of the baseball, the San Diego Padres pitcher was there throwing baseballs the other day and they filmed him doing it, but he might not actually be in Antarctica. I mean, he could be paid opposition as well. You never know.
You can go to Antarctica, but they're going to bring you to a very select location. It's just like any, like you're saying with the cruise, if anybody's ever been on any cruise to anywhere, like the cruise doesn't just take
go
you
wherever you want. Yeah,
exactly. You're brought to a very curated location with curated events for you to partake in. Like you're not seeing like the shitty parts of town or whatever. Oh. You know what I'm saying? Like,
dude,
so.
I did a detachment to the Bahamas for 2 weeks, to Andros Island and or Autech rather, and it was like a third world country. Like we were flying over in our helicopters and people have tarps for roofs and all sorts of stuff. And we weren't allowed to leave the base. And then you could see the other island where that was the fun area and stuff. And people are like over there blowing thousands of dollars. You're absolutely right. They're not going to show you any of that stuff. No. Honestly, Antarctica would be the best place for the hollow earth, you know, Admiral right, Byrd well, and all that.
I put a picture in the chat and I also sent one to you, Dave, as well in the Facebook chats. And, you know, just a quick picture I found just to give you an idea that there is like some kind of wall idea, right? Yeah, this idea of an ice wall does exist, you know, and you know that could be anywhere 150 200 feet high depending on where you are, right? So it's a big ice wall that exists down there. And then that plateau that you're seeing in that picture, that again could go on stretch for thousands of miles before you could get to the potential extra terra, right? That's how big of a wall we're talking about here. So no, nobody's going to fly over it and be like, oh, I saw some shit on the other side, you know?
Well, without digging into it and hearing the 10,000 miles of ice, you say a wall, it's like, well, how big of a wall are we talking about?
Now you know.
Not a cliff. That's what that is. An ice cliff.
10,000 mile thick glacier ice wall. Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
So thick, like 15 seas.
The image is it a legitimate picture? Looks like it probably is, but I mean that could just be a chunk of ice that just dropped off, man. I mean they talk all the time about miles long chunks of ice just dropping off.
Bro, again, I think the words are what the problem is. It creates right. A specific perception in your mind. Everybody thinks like you're saying one thing when you're meaning another thing. Like, you know, let me just find
so. What I'm picking up on here is Jeff saying wide, Jeremy saying long. Those are two different things.
Here, two completely different things. Here's another picture, okay? Just to give you an idea of scale and how people would think that there's like an ice wall here. Like this is a wall. And again, there's places where it's smaller and there's places where it's bigger. And we'll put these pictures on the Facebooks for people to see because... Obviously, we're talking about pictures for 10 minutes, but...
Well, that's what's on the other side, this crappy tent city in this picture.
Right, but again, you know, you can't just show... Here's the thing. You and I cannot just take a boat and just go hang out, get up that wall and go do this. You can't do that, first of all. Why not? Now, are they going to shoot at you? Probably not. Because they know that even if you tried to trek like the distance that you're seeing there in the background you to go die. See what might be beyond, you're going to die.
You might not.
You're not going to make it. So they're not going to do anything.
If you shop
I'll take Bear
Grylls
with
fun.
Me. Take Bear Grylls and his camera crew and his mobile hotel.
Bear Grylls is full of shit.
Yeah,
he's useless.
That guy stays in a Best Western and then he's jumping off a cliff at 7 p.m. Next day.
I would take Les Stroud, but we're going to be doubling back every single time for his camera equipment, all right? I just want the film crew for Bear Grylls. Let's do it this way.
Anyways, so that's definitely an ice shelf. And to be like... you know, what the flat earthers refer to as the ice wall. That's not it. That looks like.
That's what I'm telling you right now. As a former flat earther, that picture, those pictures literally are what is considered the ice wall.
Yeah.
Okay. Now you're right. Yes. That could just be a giant glacier. Maybe it's a mile long. Maybe it's 10 miles long. Maybe it's 1,000. Maybe that's the literal edge, the coastline of massive pieces of Antarctica, which it is, right? So again, the idea is that Antarctica, you have to understand the map, right?
I understand the map. I've seen the map.
So okay,
I've seen it.
This you've, is the idea of the ice wall. So that's my whole point, is that the ice wall is this massive thing. It's not this idea that Jake was saying before. That's my only point about this.
All right.
So we're having a circle argument about what a wall is. Dave, what were some of the things that you guys talked about on your episode of, like, because Jeremy hinted at it with me over the phone. He said that you had kind of like a list of like the most common or most hardest to debunk, like, arguments from flat earthers.
From what
can we talk about the math?
The math of like the curve.
Yeah, the parabola thing, that was interesting to me.
Yeah, that was something that, I mean, I'm bad at math, like I said many times in that episode. But living on the western side of the United States and literally being able to, I mean, I can see the ocean from my house, the whole entirety of, you know, this coast, was trying to do the math. Obviously, I don't have any equipment to do the math. But when you're looking, I think one of the things that I had taken as an example was seeing aircraft carriers go. I don't want to say go over the horizon, because then that starts the whole
where they
back
start
and
to
forth.
Float.
It starts, well, when you watch them go past your point of vision, and what is it supposed to be? Every 10 miles is 66.6 feet. I think that was an intriguing number too, that I think a lot of people they perk up when they hear that. They're like, oh, we got some numerology going on. I mean, you guys would know more than me, but from my understanding, a flight deck to waterline is like 60 to 90 feet.
Yeah.
And then from the flight deck to the top of your radar is probably the same height, I would imagine. So you're looking at 180. I don't know how tall an aircraft carrier is, but I would say probably 150 to 180 feet above the waterline. And you're watching them go, and you can track them out. You know, there's especially, you know, there's some apps. I had the app earlier. I wanted to get it, but I couldn't find it because I used it when I was doing this research. But there's an app where you can actually, you know, see how far out they are, and I'm sure you can use a sextant too if you really, really wanted to. But some of these ships are, you know, 20, 30, something, because they do a lot of the drills off the coast of San Diego. I think around 50 miles out, and some of these ships, I mean, you need really good optics to go that far, obviously, to see that. And you can still see them. But if you're going, you're only seeing like itty bitty portions of the top. And I want to reiterate, you cannot see the curve at ground fucking level, even if it's on the ocean. Like, you're not going to be able to see that. Like, there's no possible way, and most likely probably from it, probably even at 30,000 feet. I think I have seen it even before I even knew about this, the flat earth theory, you know, well over a decade ago. And I have some pictures, but I have also been told that, no, it's just the window of the plane that makes it look like that. And I'm like, oh, and then it's, you start to go down the rabbit hole of, well, the airlines are in on it too. And they make the windows like that to make it your perception different. And I've had that argument with people. I don't believe that that's something that's happening. But the whole, you know, I take, the Chicago skyline, for example. What is it? The Willis Tower. I think I called it the Sears Tower in our episode. I'm still living in the past. I think Frankie had said it. It's, I'd have to go into Google Earth and do the measurements, but it's a certain amount of miles. But those buildings are like, 1,400 feet high. Mm-hmm. So no matter if it's 66 feet every 10 miles, you got to go a hell of a distance before you can't see those buildings. And there's a lot of arguments that, you know, you can see the buildings. Well, yes, you can, because they're fucking huge. If you've ever been to Chicago or New York City, I mean, those buildings are massive. And like David Weiss says, well, I could see New York from Connecticut. Yeah, no shit. It's 25 miles away.
Yeah, right. You know, I saw smoke from 9/11 when I was a kid.
Yeah, yeah. no shit. But I'm not good at math. So if you're doing that equation, what is it? Let me pull it up just so I
can I.
So fuck up. Yeah.
While you pull that up, let me because you kind of mentioned the seeing the curvature from planes and all that kind of thing, right? And you know, I just want to remind people that if you are one who trusts the experts, and good for you, right? Then I would assume, yeah, cool. I would assume that you might enjoy talks from people like Neil deGrasse Tyson, you know, the shows, or maybe not him particular, but you know, you respect his knowledge and these things and his opinion, his word, right? Well, he has said more than once that you cannot see the curvature of the Earth from a plane. In fact, that dude, the Red Bull,
Felix Bumgarner, yeah, whatever the guy
he
was.
Couldn't see the curvature at his height.
He was at 125,000 feet.
Yeah. So right. Every time somebody says that to me, like, I've been on a plane, but you never on a plane, but you see the curvature. I'm like, bro, you're a dumbass. You've never seen the curvature. So
your eyes are probably playing tricks on you.
Yeah.
You
know, I think it's because of how far a human being can actually see.
It's all a perception issue. That's
it's
like, I like that meme where it's like a basketball and the guy's taking the camera and zoomed right in. He's like, see, even a basketball is flat. That's just, you've gone so far in on a certain perspective. Of course it's going to be flat. Of course it's going to be flat. Like,
yes, that
come on.
There's no way to determine from anything that we can get in and go look from with our own eyeballs. If it's like just by looking at it for a curve, like we can't do that. There's just nothing that you or I or anybody that we know can do to do that. Not now, maybe in 100 years.
Yeah. So it's so hard because I just don't know where to start. My head hurts right now.
And
I was gonna say, Jeremy, it looks like your brain's melting a little bit.
No, it's just, you know, it's tough because at the same time, like I was telling Jake today, it's gonna be hard for me to stay like polite.
No, man, say what you think, bro. I mean, like, listen, here's the thing, bro.
He's gonna throw insults, not
nobody here. Nobody in this call right now is so tied to being a flat earther that you would offend anybody. I'm not a flat earther.
I'm not talking about you, Jeff. Jeff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm comfortable with you,
but out, bro. Let's go.
I could care less, Jeff.
We don't care.
I could care less if I hurt your feelings. I'll say I'm sorry, give you a nice big hug and a fat kiss next time I see you, or if I ever see you. And all will be good. But the thing is that, you know, we have listeners, right? I don't know who 99% of them are. And who knows? Some of them may be flat earthers. And I don't want to give the perception that I don't want to hear about what their beliefs are, or that I will not be open to having a flat earther on the show, because absolutely. Like, if there's a flat earther out there that wants to come on the show and thinks that they have some good evidence and whatnot and can have an adult conversation about it, by all means, come on. You know, just know that my point of view is not going to be your point of view. And that's okay. You know, someone can come on and say that I'm a fucking idiot because of my point of view, and that's fine, as long as they don't do it through a fucking email. I swear. people that hide behind email, David Weiss, if you're listening, don't fucking email me.
Call him. Text him.
No, come on the show and tell me I'm a fucking idiot.
Leave us a voicemail, please leave us a voicemail.
Often.
But the thing is that some of these points that are brought up by flat earthers, right? And I haven't really heard one yet that really makes me stop and think. I mean, there's a couple that I'm like, maybe. And then, you know, you think about it and it's simply dismissed. Like the one thing that I was really excited to talk about, right, was the flights or the aircraft flights in your episode there, Dave. If you can just briefly tell the listeners what the argument was here from a flat earther's point of view, and then I'll kind of fill in the rest.
Okay. So before, two things before I go into that, from a lot of those experiments, where you can see the Chicago skyline from across Lake Michigan is generally about 50 miles. So if doing the math, you should lose about 335 feet of a building that's almost 1500 feet high. So most definitely you are going to see 90% of the skyline of that city, because most of those buildings are 800 plus feet high.
Well, not just that, but also if you also got to think about, I can't remember which theorem it is, but there's one of the Einstein's theories of relativity, where he literally talks about gravity pockets and how light will bend around sources of gravity. And I understand, you know, Jeff can sit there and say gravity is fake and whatnot, and blah, blah, blah. But even in your episode, Dave, there was conversations about how the thickest water is always at the bottom. The easiest water to move around in is at the top of it. But then you even go into other layers, right? The air that we breathe at ground level is much easier on our body. But as soon as we go higher and higher and higher, it becomes less dense and we can expand and basically explode from the outside in or from the inside out, where if we go to the deepest parts of our ocean, we'll get crunched like a tin can. And that has to deal with gravity. And gravity is just a word. It's a word to describe an action or describe a property that we don't understand, right? Even scientists will come out and say, we don't understand gravity. We know that something's there, right? Whether it be the electric universe that some people believe in, or something more simpler, as in like the standard quote unquote definition of what gravity is, it exists, right? So when you look over the another thing too is that I just don't believe that flat earthers understand the concept of pi, right? 3.14. And if they ever took a math class, maybe they would understand a little bit more about how pi works. But basically that's the gist of, you know, if you're standing at point A and you're looking at point B 50 miles away, it's not an addition equation. It's a multiplication equation with decimals that are far beyond, anybody that even the smartest people will have, difficulties putting that together without certain values, right? So, but to get back into, I don't know, man. I feel like I'm just kind of talking in circles here.
And then the equation before I go on to before we tap into what you wanted to say about the flights. The equation was something that I had seen, and it was the first time I had ever heard somebody that wasn't a flat earther kind of give an opposition. It was on the Michael Startain podcast, and apparently, you know, he's a pilot. The other guy on the show was an F-18 pilot, And they both said that that equation is for calculating a parabola, not a sphere. Mm-hmm. And that he said, so that is entirely, which does make sense because it goes into the flights. So the Earth, I mean, you've seen planes take off. I mean, you guys have been around even smaller jets than commercial airlines. We are insignificantly small. Yes. Compared to the realm that we're on or in and the one of the things that I've always heard is that, you know, well, if the Earth was a sphere, wouldn't the nose have to be pitched down or else it'd fly into space? And I think that that's the bottom of the aircraft is always relative to the center point that it's at. So if the aircraft, you know, obviously if you bank right, bank left, it's going to turn. But if you're going straight, you're always the way that I described it was you had a ball and it's always going the same. It's not going to go straight off into space, which what's that relative motion, you know, but you guys would know more. You guys have been in planes quite a bit, much, much more. But the other argument is that there's a lot of commercial pilots that are like, yeah, it's fucking flat. And you're like, wait. Like, and then you got guys that are like, I don't want to talk about it. So there is an argument between both sides. And me thinking a plane will just shoot off. No, I don't think that's going to happen. But
let's knock this out of the way. Right. Pilots, most of them are very smart people. Most. Not
have to be, I would imagine.
No, no, you don't.
No.
Some
don't
of
even
them
have to be good looking.
Some of, yeah, you don't thriving. Have to be Tom Cruise. No. Some of them
you don't
are
complete, have to play volleyball.
Complete idiots. Okay, the amount of times,
and most of them do a lot of drugs. Just saying.
I wasn't
throwing that out
far,
there for everybody.
Most of them they don't have common sense. Okay, they have book sense. And
well, they have instruments that tell them what to do. Constantly, well, the, and a not book just, that tells them what to do constantly.
The thing is that flying an aircraft is Barneyed down so much that a layman should be able to go out and do it, right? At some point, you know, having a non-commercialized aircraft in every household might be a thing, and it probably wouldn't be that bad. I've met some dumb fucking pilots, man. Especially in the military. I mean, I'm sure that the civilian sector is just as bad, if not worse. The amount of people that literally don't understand that they have to flip a switch to turn on a light is ridiculous.
Or something won't work in OFF position. It's like, oh,
yeah. It's in the switch is in OFF. What does that mean? How many times I've been asked that is fucking dumb. Off, dude. Off. It means it's off. No, yep. You laugh, but it's serious.
I've gotten maintenance request forms saying that this box wouldn't work in OFF mode. And I'm like, this is off. That's why it wouldn't work.
Okay.
It makes me never want to fly again.
Not all pilots are fucking geniuses. Okay. That's just number one. Okay, they're people just like you and me are. Like, I mean, there's the average Joe out there, you know, believes in some form of fucking conspiracy. And my goal was to get into the national forestry system so that I can, you know, use it as a way to hunt Bigfoot, right? If somebody is a flat earther or is interested in that such topic, it makes sense to be a fucking pilot. You know, because you're just going to expand upon your own beliefs. But to talk about the systems a little bit inside of an aircraft, the first thing that a lot of people need to understand is that, you know, a lot of shows will joke upon autopilot or use the term autopilot. Autopilot isn't something where you just flip a switch and the aircraft just goes where you want it to go. It's not like that. Okay. Your car can't even do that. Right. So, well, most cars can't do it. I guess there's a lot of cars that can do it now. But that's not how it works. Right. So autopilot basically is a system that's actually called AFCS or AFCS. And there's three different kinds. It depends on what aircraft you're dealing with. There's the digital and the standard form, DAFCS and SAFCS. Digital or standard automatic flight control systems. And basically think of it like this. Okay, this is a system that takes pressure readings from all over the aircraft through what's called static ports, right? And through that, they can put the correct amount or the correct hydraulic pressure into certain portions of, or certain what we call flight controls on the aircraft. Flight controls are your major controls used for directional flight, right? You have your rudders for your left and right. You have your elevators for your up and down, and you have your ailerons for barrel rolls, right? Side to side barrel rolls. And when the aircraft is feeling pressure, whether it's through ram air, which is the air that's forced upon the nose of an aircraft in forward flight, or barometric pressure issues such as going through clouds or thunderstorms or turbulence, and then wind speed. I mean, the amount of things that could be put onto an aircraft that the pilot doesn't have to deal with is numerous. And basically, the AFCS system takes that away from the pilot and automatically applies it to the aircraft itself. Okay, so as it's using all these different kinds of instruments, whether they're gyros, static ports, altimeters, barometers, all kinds of different things, it's reading what's going on around the aircraft, and it's putting the pressure into these flight controls to keep it stable at a specific
altitude.
Thank you. So a lot of aircraft are set to a specific altitude, and there's two different kinds of altitudes. There's one from sea level and one from land level, right? So a lot of pilots will set it to what's called MSL, which is mean sea level. And then a lot of pilots will actually use AGL, above ground level, as two different kinds of readings. And above ground level is just a number that's relevant to MSC, the mean sea level. And basically, through satellites around the planet that are reading sea level, they come up with an average sea level that's used as a number in an equation in all aircraft around the world. And when they do that, that aircraft specifically stays at a specific height above sea level. Okay, so if you're trying to get to 30,000 feet, you push in the MSC or the MSL, right? Which changes minutely every day, right? Because of tidal, lunar tides and whatnot, sea levels in different areas of the world. But anyways, whatever the average is of all of the sea level readings in the world, that's the number that you put in for that day. Then, as you're flying your aircraft, due to the altimeter, measuring the altitude of your aircraft above sea level is making these minute changes every millisecond, every second, every 30 seconds. There's different reads at different time intervals for different things. But basically, what you're feeling due to your perception inside of an aircraft is that it's going straight, but it's not. It's actually taking around the curve. And, you know, Dave, I'm not talking to you specifically. I'm talking to people that are listening that might be flat earthers that are using this as a tool in their belt. It doesn't work that way. Okay. And the reason why we have this DAFCS, which is, you know, kind of backstepping a little bit here too, is that if you didn't have AFCS and you didn't have the proper hydraulic pressures behind your flight controls when you took off, your wings would rip right off. Okay. If you don't have anything holding your arm out, if you don't have the bones, your arm just flops down to the sides. The same thing with a fucking aircraft. Okay. You gotta have the hydraulic pressure. I know that was long winded, but that is my explanation as to why that's a very silly, thing to talk about when you're a flat earther.
What exactly was that about again? I'm sorry. I got so lost in the weeds there.
The curvature and if the nose has to be pointed up constantly. So you, or down. Pointed down so you don't go flying off.
I could have saved you 20 minutes and said it's a stupid argument. And any flat earther who says that doesn't understand their own model. Here's a problem, man. One of the biggest problems
you have the biggest proponents in flat earth, like David Weiss, believes that. And says that, right?
Absolutely. Dude, 100%, Dave. That's I'm with you, man. One of the biggest problems for any of these niche conspiracy communities, right? Because that's the problem, right? When you talk about conspiracies in particular, it's so fractured within that that community, right? Any one of those niche communities inside of that, dude, the biggest talking heads of those that people follow and listen to, even they say some of the stupidest shit, right? So that's the problem. The problem, again, is that people aren't getting what is being said. And that's why I said at the beginning, I didn't want to get stuck in the weeds because, again, we'll do this for days and days and days talking about each individual little thing. That's why is it flat or why is it not flat? The point is the information that we have about what we live on is filtered through something that you guys have already said 10 times, right? Some filter that we don't trust in so many other ways. And there's no way for us to verify this outside of going through that filtered information. That's all this comes down to.
True. Very true.
This concludes part one of our Flat Earth conversation with Declassified Dave. Join us next week for part two. And thank you for joining us down this path of the infinite rabbit hole. Bye.